WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. House Speaker Mike Johnson facing an uphill battle on a budget test vote today due to the razor-thin GOP majority. ABC's Stephen Portnoy has details.
In addition to providing for the president's border and energy priorities, the House's budget blueprint would tee up an expansion of the expiring Trump tax cuts. Trouble for Republicans is the pay-for provisions that aim to cut up to $2 trillion from the social safety net programs. Despite formal denials from GOP leadership, many fear that Medicaid would bear the brunt of the cuts. Already, three Republicans have publicly vowed to vote no on the budget plan, and that's enough to kill it.
Pope Francis, battling pneumonia, remains in critical but stable condition at a Rome hospital, according to the Vatican, with no new respiratory episodes today. Another jump in measles cases in West Texas. The state health department says they've recorded 34 more cases since last Friday. There are now 124 cases linked to the outbreak. Health officials say most are children or teens. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. An error in one of the first ads in the state Supreme Court race after Elon Musk's group got involved. He's the major donor behind Building America's Future, which will spend $1.6 million in supporting conservative Brad Schimmel over liberal Susan Crawford. One of their first ads says, quote, Susan Crawford is wrong for Wisconsin, end quote, with a photo of her. But there's one big problem. It's the wrong Susan Crawford. The one they included in their ad, Susan P. Crawford, is a law professor at Harvard. And when you look up Susan Crawford on Wikipedia, you end up on the professor's page and you find that photo. Crawford's campaign called it shameful and a fraud and said, quote, Wisconsinites shouldn't trust a single thing from these guys, end quote. Now, this comes after another ad issue a few weeks ago, where the Schimmel campaign ran a spot with an edited photo of Susan Crawford that turned her smile into a scowl. The Schimmel campaign admitted the photo was edited. And here in Wisconsin, there's a special license plate you can get that helps spay and neuter efforts. Here's Lisa Hale.
In 2024, The Fix is In, a 100% volunteer nonprofit, helped fund nearly 700 spay and neuter surgeries for outdoor cats. Board President Bree Richardson says purchasing the specialty license plate is a simple but impactful way to support animal welfare and curb overpopulation. The organization says a single unspayed female cat can easily give birth to around 60 kittens within 5 years. For outdoor cats, spaying and neutering is especially critical. Only 25% of kittens survive to adulthood, with many facing starvation, disease, or deadly exposure to harsh weather. See our story at civicmedia.us for information.
I'm Savannah Tome Olson. This is 92.7 WMDX News.
The Packers are in Indy. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, where over 300 of the top college football players will work out and interview with teams. Packers GM Brian Gutekunst, doing interviews with the media, asked about free agents like defensive end Myles Garrett or wide receiver Davante Adams. A number of Wisconsin Badger players here, like Jack Nelson. College basketball, Wisconsin slipped from 11th to the 12th ranked team in the nation in the AP Top 25 after that loss in overtime to Oregon. They play Washington tonight at the Kohl Center. Marquette now ranked 22nd after losing four of their last six games. They host Providence tomorrow night at 6. The Bucks on the road in Houston tonight against the Rockets. Baseball, Brewers outfielder Blake Perkins says he was taking live batting practice against Freddie Peralta when a fastball struck him just below the right knee, fracturing his shin bone. Perkins expects to be out until early May. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Sunny and still unseasonably warm today with high temperatures reaching the upper 40s. We've got rain rolling in overnight tonight and lingering through early tomorrow morning and leaving us with a mostly cloudy day, but still mild with highs in the mid-40s. And how about another 50-degree day possible on Friday? I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 49.
Blind Shot Social Club, a perfect blend of cool, casual dining, indoor golf with space for events, craft cocktails, and non-alcoholic drinks too. A hidden gem on Madison's East Side. Blind Shot Social Club, open to everyone. BlindShotSocialClub.com.
Listen to the John and Gordy Show weekdays right here on WMDX, sponsored by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted, locally made mattress. Find them on Madison's East and West Side or online at Verlo.com.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Dr. Kristen Lierley, who talks health and the Oscars. And mob expert Bob Dennis joins me in the studio to talk the mafia and urban legends. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
A new choice. Madison's real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. It is 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big program. It is Tuesday, February 25th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Coming up a little bit later on in the hour at 1:30. You're not going to want to miss this. I read this story yesterday, and I became emotional. And I texted Kelly Meyerhofer, the reporter, and I said, would you be willing to come on the show tomorrow and talk about this? And she is so gracious with her time, and she said, absolutely. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter Kelly Meyerhofer will be here after the news at 12:30 with a very emotional and important story.
Or 1:30.
Pardon me, 1:30. Thank you very much, Somers. At 1:30. With a very emotional and important story, great reporting on what college athletes, and yes, to an earlier texter's point, I understand that it's not just athletes, it's all of us, quite frankly. But Kelly reported this on the lens of Sarah Schulze, who died by suicide in 2022. She was a runner at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And Kelly puts together this great piece, this great reporting on mental health in college athletes, what's being done about it, and the ending is powerful. Looking forward to having Kelly on here at the bottom of the hour. So here's the deal, Zombers. I went out to use the facilities over the break. And I took my CBS mug that I've had with me since 1988. And I went out to in the old water cooler to get water. And it's sitting on the other side of the studio glass. I feel like a gorilla. I can see the banana, but I can't get to it. So
would you like me to go grab it?
No. I think you should dial up some street music. And because we can't really, people can't. So we can just, let's take a look at the street cam. Hopefully it's working. Is it working? We'll have a shot.
Let's find out.
Let's go to the street cam here on State Street in downtown Madison. Well, there's a couple of cars. All right, play a little music here, and you can do the play-by-play. I'm going to step out and get my water. I'll be right back.
Here on State Street in Madison, Wisconsin, we see several cars rounding the corner, and it looks like somebody is approaching the crosswalk. You know, it's a pretty sunny day here in Madison, much warmer than it has been as of late. I can't tell you much about the bustling downtown because there's really just a few people walking across the street right now. I imagine most people are still working. They might be at lunch. And I've not seen any bikers breaking the law. So there's that.
Thank you, Aaron. That's your downtown Madison traffic and walking report here in beautiful downtown Madison. This shot's a little low on the Sam Davidson street cam. But now, here I am. Here, this mug, I shouldn't even say it because it means I'm going to drop it and break it. I got this back in 1988 when I had visited New York City. And this ties into what's worse. Visited New York City the first time in 1988, a week before I graduated high school. And went to the my friend Carrie Anderson, now Carrie Anderson Pink, and I went to, because I was working for WRCO, the CBS affiliate in Richland Center, which is now part of Civic Media. And went to the CBS headquarters, and at the CBS store, I got this beautiful CBS News mug.
Which is a very nice mug. It's such a clean design.
It's a clean design, classic news-type design, black and white.
Normal 12-ounce size coffee cup.
Yep, with the old CBSi logo right there for those watching on the stream. And somehow in all my moves, I've managed not to break this. So I used it back in the day when I worked in radio, and here I am back on the air all these years later.
I will say, when you said my CBS mug, my first thought was, oh no, did it break?
Oh, no.
But then you were so calm. I was like, there's right. No way. There's no way it broke. He'd be much more upset.
And remember, as Letterman likes to say, anytime you hear or see me, your radio and streaming host, take a sip of a beverage, it's the ideal time for you, the home listener, watcher, to have a beverage as well. So here we go. All right, we're set to go. It's 10 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. Before we do what's worse, and this ties in. According to Wallet Hub, they have researched the hardest working cities in America. And guess what, Zommers? Wisconsin does not have a hard working city. According to Wallet Hub. Now, just listen. The rating looked at an average work week hour, the employment rate, the share of households where no adults work. Share of workers leaving vacation time unused, PTO, and the number of people between 16 and 24 who are neither in school nor working. The highest scoring city in Wisconsin is Milwaukee at 83rd place.
Wow.
We know Milwaukee is a great city. They're a hardworking city. Well, guess what? I say good, because it's not a badge of honor to not use earned vacation days.
If you this
earn,
is true.
If you earn PTO, use them. I don't, but you should. And if you live in a household with no adults who work, you're probably retired. And if you
on disability or something,
or that, and if you figured out a way to retire early, hey, more power to you. This is one rating we're not winning. Is just fine with me. Wisconsinites are, in fact, hardworking, I believe. I know that because I see it. I travel the state. Other cities, maybe not so much. All right, let's go. Time once again for what's worse. Here we go. This or that. This or that. Then, of course, the choice is yours. You can go with this or you can go with that. Time once again for what's worse. No prize money involved, nothing to give away, but it is your chance to be heard across statewide radio. All 11 news talk sports stations on the Civic Media Radio Network, the largest privately owned radio network in Wisconsin. No better way to get your word, your advertising out than right here on Civic Media. Go to civicmedia.us and find out how to join our team. We would love to have you. All right, Zommers, timely indeed. As Mike Lucas likes to say, cities. We're talking about hardworking cities there. Well, here now in the news, if you've been watching this, a couple of big city mayors, both happen to be Democrats, in some hot water. First of all, you got this guy, Eric Adams, in New York City, who was indicted on very severe charges of taking money under the table and all this kind of stuff. Well, he's made a deal with Donald Trump, allegedly. Because Trump's attorney generals and whatnot, or New York City there, the Justice Department, is saying, oh, no, we're going to put those charges on hold. We're not going to completely get rid of them. But if you don't do what we want in terms of getting rid of undocumented folks, we'll throw you back in the clink. And so you got Eric Adams, who's snuggling up to Trump over there. And then on the other side of the country, out in Los Angeles, you've got Karen Bass. Now, she's a piece of work. We found out yesterday from CBS, speaking of CBS, that Mayor Bass went on a vacation, kind of a quasi-work trip vacation, to Ghana, which, of course, if you know your geography, is right next to Rio. I'm just kidding. That's an old joke. But she went over to Ghana and on this trip, and she knew, according to CBS, that the weather conditions were ripe for a major fire. But yet she went anyway. She was out of town. The fire chief there in L.A. was also a woman. And after the fires now here this week, Mayor Bass in Los Angeles, instead of taking the responsibility, she fires the fire chief. Says it's her fault for not calling out more firefighters. Well, now CBS finds out yesterday that the ordinance in Los Angeles said that that responsibility, according to law, guess where that lands? With the mayor. So exactly. So you got two people here, Eric Adams in New York City or Karen Bass in Los Angeles. So the question, finally to get to it, what's worse, New York City or Los Angeles? What's worse, New York City or Los Angeles? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You could also text us on the Civic Media app. You don't have it, you say? Well, easy enough to get. Simply go to your app store on your Apple or Android device. Type in Civic in the search bar. C-I-V-I-C. Media. Civic Media. It'll pop up. Little CM logo. Click on that. It'll download in less than a minute. It is free. Gratis. No dinero. Won't cost you a dime. Because now you got to say dime because pennies are on their way out. It's what Gail King at CBS calls a deal. The Civic Media app, you can listen to the Badger game tonight for free on it. There is rumor that there is a hot new contest coming up soon. And the only way you're going to be able to enter is through the Civic Media app. So do yourself a favor. Download the Civic Media app right now. What's worse, New York or Los Angeles? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Have you been to both cities?
Sorry. I've been to neither.
Neither? Really? And you've done quite a bit of traveling, or at least a relative amount.
Not really. I've traveled around Wisconsin. I've been to... Well, okay. I've only really been to a few states, and then England. So, no, I'd like to do more traveling. I've been to Colorado. Oh. I've been to all the neighboring states. Wait, all the neighboring... Maybe. I might have been to all the neighboring states.
You were in Colorado first, so you don't remember.
We'll go with that.
Our own Casper, great engineer here at Civic in Madison, says L.A. is worse. Not even a contest. L.A. is awful. The driving alone makes me never want to go there ever again.
I have to say, as somebody who has not been to either, that's a big indicator for me, is that it takes you an hour plus to get anywhere in L.A., whereas in New York, you can hop on a train.
Very true. Matt in Middleton, listening on WMDX, says New York is worse by far. Giant rats and the orange menace has a stench all over it. L.A. is wonderful and some of the best food ever.
That's a good point.
Dana, listening in La Crosse, says Adams is straight on corrupt. Bass is just passing the buck. New York is worse. All right. What's
Bass
worse?
Bass is passing the buck, but people died. So
that's very true. What's worse, New York or Los Angeles? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. I have been to both cities. I can tell you I enjoy both cities. They both offer spectacular things. Each of them have their challenges, like any city. But we'll reveal what Zomers and I think might be worse. What's worse on the other side of the break? So stay with us for that. Kelly Meyerhofer with a great story at the bottom of the hour. So stay with us. Much more ahead. What's worse, New York or L.A. on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Attention. If you suffer from consistent pain in your joints caused by arthritis, overuse, or injury, you may be a candidate for a revolutionary therapy that could revitalize damaged tissue. This approach can provide long-lasting relief from pain in your knees, shoulders, hips, and other joints with no surgery, no drugs, and no downtime. To find out if you're a viable candidate, you may request a free consultation from QC Kinetics by calling 608-384-0897. Instead of masking the symptoms, it goes to the root of the problem to resolve it at its source. Already used by thousands of satisfied patients nationwide, this joint pain therapy is available right now to the public, but only for qualified candidates. Again, to find out if you're a viable candidate for this therapy, you may request a free consultation by calling QC Kinetics at 608-384-0897. That's 608-384-0897.
Hey, hon, have you been to Sugar River Pizza in Sun Prairie yet?
Oh, yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah, I know. I love the pizza.
Pizza is ridiculous. That crust.
Right, and they have 48
beers on tap and a great selection of wines.
And the atmosphere.
Not only is the restaurant gorgeous.
That room with the giant windows
that open. Yeah. And they won a Best of Madison Gold Award this year.
I love Sugar River Pizza
on Cabela Drive in Sun Prairie.
You took the words right out of my
mouth.
Yep. SugarRiverPizza.com.
Oh, so you have heard of it.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special healthcare needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Old Blue Eyes. Sing it, Frank.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York, New York.
Welcome back to the Tom O'Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 21 past the hour of 1 o'clock on Tuesday, February 25th. Zombers on the board, dialing up a little Frank Sinatra, chairman of the board. Classic. Is there a more recognizable American tune, Zombers, than New York, New York?
Yankee Doodle.
Yankee Doodle Dandy, maybe, yeah.
Or like the Star Spangled Banner.
Oh,
but,
sure.
You know, if it's in good company.
It's got to be the top five. Asking the question here, don't forget, coming up after the bottom of the hour break, a very, very important interview, more of a story discussion with great reporter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Kelly Meyerhofer. Great story she wrote on mental health and UW athletics. Right now, the lighter side to the show. Asking, as we do every day, what's worse? And you can take, we laid out the two mayors, Eric Adams in New York and Karen Bass in Los Angeles, but take it however you want. And I've been to both. I like parts of both cities. But what's worse, New York or Los Angeles? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You could also text us for free on the Civic Media app. Our ongoing contributor and friend, Jeff Perry, says, strictly speaking, musically, L.A. is worse. Sinatra's New York, New York versus Randy Newman, I Love L.A., no contest.
And on a similar note, Brian in Milwaukee says, L.A. is worse. New York has Broadway. But Wisconsin reigns supreme.
well, there you go.
I mean, Broadway and Sinatra and everything. Like, yeah, right. New York has some good music.
Also, Dana in, I guess we did Dana's in La Crosse already. Eric, listening on WMDX in Madison, says it's not even a discussion. New York is the best city on the planet. Karina, listening in Milwaukee, getting the job done, driving around there. Keep her safe, Karina. Listening on WAUK says Los Angeles is worse. You just read Brian's there in Milwaukee. Jack in Merrimack, listening via WAUK, says the situation in New York is much worse, in my opinion. Not only is the mayor probably guilty of corruption, but another criminal is essentially blackmailing him to enforce his dictates. Last I heard, blackmail is unlawful too, Jack in Merrimack. Thanks, Jack. Always appreciate you. What's worse, New York or Los Angeles? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. I've probably been to L.A. more than New York. I spent more time in Los Angeles. I'm going to get very nuanced with my answer. Because the people are saying the driving in Los Angeles, yes. I mean, I think if you live there or visit enough, it's just a given. Not always, always, but most times, if you have to drive any amount of distance for groceries or to make a Target run, whatever it is, if you have to get outside of your neighborhood beyond 7, 8, 10 blocks, it's an hour. It's an hour to anything in Los Angeles. It just is. If you have to get on one of the LA freeways to go somewhere, you might as well just say it's going to be an hour to anywhere. Sometimes longer, especially if you go during rush hour. Also, I mean, I've been out to the Rose Bowl a handful of times, spent time at the Staples Center in downtown Los Angeles. Downtown LA is okay. I guess in fairness, I haven't spent as much time in downtown LA as I have in Manhattan, New York. But I would say that there's a lot more things to do in New York City, whether it's Manhattan or whether it's in Brooklyn or whether it's in Queens, than right downtown Los Angeles. Now, the greater Los Angeles area, Downey, other places that I've been, Pasadena. I love Pasadena, but that's a suburb of LA, right? So, but just to get around in terms of transportation, like to get from the LaGuardia Airport to Brooklyn or Manhattan. You grab a cab or grab a train. It's not that big of a deal. As you said, Zomers, you get on a train and you go into Manhattan if you want. Los Angeles, it's a bigger deal. So my answer is probably going to be, if I had to choose, I'd say the city of Los Angeles proper is worse than the city of New York proper. But I love the Los Angeles area. There's a lot of good people out there. Maybe a lot of good people in both places, right? What's worse, New York or Los Angeles? Conrad, the great Conrad, by the way, producer of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Conrad. I think we should add that on. It should be Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Con.
He also is there.
Yes, he's there. Zomers says, why isn't it called the Todd Allball Show with Zomers then? Conrad in Green Bay listening on our great station, WGBW, says, talking about basketball this year, I'll take the Knicks over the Lakers this year. LA Clippers are just fighting to stay above 500. Well, there you go. That's a whole other genre, sports and basketball between the two cities. I mean, the Knicks haven't been legit in forever, right?
No, I'm not sure.
And I think they're like in Brooklyn now. They're not really in New York City proper anymore. Even though Brooklyn's a borough, I get it. By the way, tune in tonight, 6 until 8, Pete Schwabe and Nightlight, along with the great Conrad. It is a great program. They've had some great shows on lately. Actors getting ready to talk about the Academy Awards. Yeah, Conrad, this is for you and Zomers. Let's figure out a day soon here to get Pete on the program. We need to have Pete
absolutely
on the show
to talk about
the Oscars. All right. WMDX, a listener there saying Los Angeles as a city is worse, but Adams is the worst mayor. New York City itself is fantastic. Walk or mass transit is the best way to get around. People are way more interesting. I've seen some pretty interesting people in Los Angeles.
People are weird everywhere, man.
I wouldn't say weird. I would, but
that's not necessarily an insult.
Yeah, no. Normally the smog, the pollution is worse in LA, I think, when I've traveled out there. But the sunsets are spectacular. I mean, we did the show, from our friend Kelly Calls, a bar, the sports bar down there. And restaurant, the Underground. By the way, when you're in Hermosa Beach, stop at the Underground. And Hermosa Beach is just, I mean, my God, that's beautiful out there. And everybody is beautiful in Hermosa Beach. You have good food, you're rollerblading, you're jogging, you're in the ocean, you're playing volleyball. So there you go. Summers, do you want to, what's worse?
I think I got to say, I've never been to either, but I'm going to base this almost entirely on transportation and weather. And I'm going to say LA is worse.
All right. That's how we play What's Worse. Come on back. Kelly Meyerhofer on the other side talking about mental health. Join us on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Madison Southside Elementary officially has its new name. We've been following this story for months. Southside on East Badger Road was built a couple years ago in a brand new building, and the name was supposed to be temporary. More than 70% of students identify as Black or Latino, and almost three quarters there face economic disadvantages. The Madison Metropolitan School District has rules that specify what or who schools can be named after. It started with 175 submissions, including Ada Deer, the first Native American woman in Wisconsin to run for Congress. Governor Tony Evers even sent a letter recommending they name the school after Shirley Abramson, Wisconsin's first woman on the Supreme Court. But they got the most submissions to name it after Lori Mann Carey, and that's what won. Mann Carey was a teacher and advocate who went above and beyond for kids in the district, especially those facing barriers. She started an after-school program at West High School, and she and her siblings created the Mann Educational Opportunity Fund more than 30 years ago in honor of their parents, a Black couple who championed equitable education for all. The fund supports students, especially students of color, reach their full potential. Their students have a 100% graduation rate. Lori was known as a village mother, there to help any child she could. Her son, Vince Carey.
People need to be highlighted who give back to their community, because we have lost the village mentality of it takes a village to like raise a child. For all like she did for our community, from Mann scholarships, the positivity she laid.
One member abstained from the vote due to conflict of interest, but otherwise it was unanimous. Southside will be named Lori Mann Carey Elementary. Now they'll get to work implementing the school's new name. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Even bad reviews, word of mouth, and almost a 70% drop-off from its first weekend of release couldn't knock Captain America: Brave New World from number one at the box office. The film took in a little over $28 million at theaters this past weekend to remain atop the feature film leaderboard here in the U.S. The most recent Marvel film has now brought in $141 million domestically after a $100 million-plus opening last weekend. Big drop-offs for Marvel films are becoming a bit of a concern for Disney Studios. Ant-Man and Wasp, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, and Thor: Love and Thunder also saw big drop-offs from weeks 1 to 2. In the number 2 slot this past weekend was The Monkey, a gory thriller which pulled in a little over $14 million in its debut weekend. Another win for Neon Studios, which released the surprise hit Long Legs last year. Rounding out the top 5 were Paddington in Peru, which finished in 3rd place, Dogman was in 4th, and Heart Eyes finished in 5th place. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Sunny and still unseasonably warm today with high temperatures reaching the upper 40s. We've got rain rolling in overnight tonight and lingering through early tomorrow morning and leaving us with a mostly cloudy day, but still mild with highs in the mid-40s. And how about another 50-degree day possible on Friday? I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 49.
The John and Gordy Show.
Let's go right to the phones here on John and Gordy.
You had spoken a previous hour about the Trump Golf Index.
Yes.
And it also includes a running tally or chart of the price of eggs and the price of gasoline. Which is,
I did not know that.
But great show. And I would really recommend going back to the Trump Golf Tracker, because that's what better way to keep track of the man.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
The Dom Salvia Show.
You know, Harvey, the seemingly purposeful no action. What's your sense on the leadership in the Dem Party right now, Harvey?
I'm ashamed of them. What did Trump have on all these people?
Yeah, right.
That we get this kind of silence. Will the Democratic leadership figure out that it's their task to start articulating a Democratic, small d, Democratic vision and project that these people can rally behind? Bam.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next program, blogger Mike McCabe will talk about dealing with the news cycle.
Is that a motorized news cycle?
I don't know.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
Doing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Title Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. And it's 34 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock on Tuesday, February 25th, 2025. Glad to have you along, Zomers, on the board. Really hope that people stay with us for this next half hour. This is an important topic as we were talking before we came back to break here from break. I know every time that we've talked about mental health issues on this show, we get a tremendous amount of engagement, meaning people text in or call in or just send us messages. This is something that I've pledged to do more of on this show this year. And I cannot thank our next guest for being here enough, making time for us. She is Kelly Meyerhofer, the higher education reporter, among her other beats at the great Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You can also find her work on JS Online. J as in journal, S as in Sentinel, online.com, jsonline.com. Kelly, thank you so much for taking the time for us and welcome back to the show.
I'm happy to be here, Todd.
We are so happy to be here because this is a tough subject, but you handle it so well. And this is one of the reasons why I so much believe in local journalism and people who are based here in Wisconsin. And let's get into it. This is a story of Sarah Scholes, who was a runner at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, but she was also a daughter. She was a family member. She was a friend. She was a teammate. She died by suicide in 2022 while a student at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And you have written this story that was published yesterday in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about her mental health in general with college athletes. What led you, what made you as a reporter say, I want to dig into this, or there has to be something more here? What was the initial impetus for doing this story?
I mean, I remember when the story broke, like the spring of 2022, you know, her family sort of announced that she had died by suicide. And at the time, there were several other, you know, high profile college athletes who had died by suicide. I think there was five that spring in college. And there was a lot of national stories about it. And at the time, I was busy with some other stuff, but it seemed like something to dig into more specifically about her circumstances and what happened. So it was something I knew I always wanted to look into, and it was just a matter of finding the time to approach it thoughtfully. And in hindsight, I think having, you know, looking at it a few years after the fact, you know, gave her family and teammates time to process it and think about it a bit more. I think it was actually much more powerful to look back as opposed to reporting in the moment.
I think you're right, because you really get into in depth with this. And I guess let's just start in order of your writing. And you start out at a track meet, the Nuddicombe Invitational, where green ribbons were being given out to all participants. Explain what that green ribbon is about and how that came about, please.
Yeah. The green ribbon, it's a symbol of mental health awareness. And her teammates started, you know, after this tragedy, you know, they were all pretty traumatized by it. And they really took it as a learning moment and became mental health advocates. And during this cross-country meet that's held at UW every year, they decided to put together these little green ribbons, and athletes across the country could wear them if they wanted. And they were so amazed by how many, like more than half of the athletes, boys, men and women, you know, put on these ribbons as a sign, just to reduce stigma and to show that, you know, mental health matters.
And we see this, I mean, my two godsons went to the University of Wisconsin-Madison, graduated in the last 5 years. And my oldest godson, Alex, he would wear a kind of a chartreuse, bright green color bandana on his backpack. I know a lot of student organizations, if they've been trained in how to help someone or assist them if they are in a mental health crisis, that if you see a student with that green bandana on campus, it's known that you could approach anybody with that and have that conversation.
Yes, the Bandana Project is similar to this, but the ribbon is a little more for athletes just to wear while they're racing.
Right. So you get into this story and you say that it's a tragic reminder, quoting from your story now, of course, tragic reminder of the stressors facing student athletes and the consequences when those pressures feel insurmountable. She was one of at least five college athletes nationally who died by suicide in the spring of 2022. I am, for those watching on the stream, I'm wearing my Wisconsin Badger hoodie because the Badgers play a basketball game tonight. I'm a huge Wisconsin fan. Like I said, my two godsons graduated from UW-Madison. And one of the great things about this story that you reveal, that I think makes the reader think about, myself included, is we as fans get caught up in the fun of all this. And look, it is. We have Brady Ewing on this show frequently, an alum of Badger football. But rarely do we as fans think about what these student athletes face. Talk a little bit about what you found in your reporting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge sports person, but I'm really struck, Sarah was a runner, so it's not a super popular sport in the way like football or basketball is. But just looking at the sports landscape and where it is right now, there is so much more pressure on these athletes than there was, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. You look at social media and how fans can just, harass athletes online if they miss a layup. There's, sports betting is exploding, and that increases that sort of online harassment. We have the Big Ten that's been expanded to include the West Coast, so that increases travel demands on athletes. And then we have this NIL era, which, in some ways is really good because athletes can now, get paid for their name, image, likeness. But it also puts a lot of pressure and expectations on them to live up to their endorsement deals. So there's just a lot of new facets to their life that athletes, 20 years ago did not have to deal with.
Yeah. You talk in your story that college athlete suicide rates are on the rise, according to a 2024 study, writing suicide is now the second most common cause of death amongst collegiate athletes, second only to accidents. I think that a lot of people would find that astounding. You bring up here, the sports betting in particular, that is a huge industry right now. And people are betting money that they can't afford to lose. Not everybody, but some people. And so they're betting on everything from who's going to score the first bucket in a basketball game to, is the kicker going to make a field goal from more than 20 yards out? And when these young women and men are human, as we all are, you have adults who are going on social media and attacking these people because they, the fan, lost hundreds or thousands of dollars because a student athlete fell short. And blaming these, I know they're not kids, but young people, for their betting. That has to be a tremendous amount of stress on these people being made to feel like trash because, people are blaming them for their betting. I never really, really thought about that seriously until this story.
Yeah, and I didn't really get into that facet that much because that wasn't, something that Sarah dealt with as a runner. It's a much lower profile sport. But I thought it was just worth mentioning that, you know, this is the landscape and it's something, you know, I'd love to explore more in future reporting.
Yeah. And I think it also just goes to show you, and you point this out in your article, maybe not directly, but the way I took it is, you know, Seth Davis, the great sports reporter and broadcaster, tweets, I think every day, be kind, be kind. Words hurt. Words matter. We're all human. And not, you don't suggest that that alone, there is no singular cause in Sarah's death or anybody else's, but that certainly was a part of it. Let's get into, we're talking to Kelly Meyerhofer, great reporter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You can find this story at JS Online. Talking about the Sarah Scholes's story here, a track athlete at UW-Madison who died by suicide in 2022. You talk about this fighting for a chance to compete, and you write that Sarah was more often felt in competition with her teammates than other schools, according to Sarah's mom. Talk about the dynamics here, and we're going to get into UW-Madison has made some changes, but at the time, there was a lot of pressure from this one particular coach at UW.
Yeah, it wasn't something until I really started talking to her teammates that I understood about, you know, being a runner in college athletics, you have no off season. You do cross country in the fall, indoor track in the winter, outdoor track in the spring. You're running 60 to 75 miles per week, and you're, you know, living, hanging out with, and competing against your friends, your teammates. You know, there's only seven spots on the travel roster during the cross country season, and there's 25 women on the team. So, you know, a couple, a second, 2 seconds, you know, if you're a little bit slower this day, you're not going to go to the meet. You're not going to compete. And it's just, you know, that was a really tough environment for Sarah and a lot of her teammates to adjust to.
In talking with her friends and family, you point out that people who knew Sarah said, look, she was a kind of just a fun, go-lucky, my words, almost goofy person, chilled jokes, easy with a smile, you know, appeared to be able to, quote-unquote, handle it. Again, my interpretation of your writing. But then you get into the subheadline is, fitting mental health into student-athlete's schedule can be tough. You write in the article, quote, but mental health was rarely, if ever, discussed by the coach, said five of Sarah's former teammates. The UW athletic department had sports psychologists on staff, but they said the wait to see them was often more than a month. The sessions tended to be focused on improving athletic performance and privacy, and there were also privacy concerns. You write that online appointments and off-site community providers paid for by the athletic department are available for students concerned about privacy, but the department during this time had the equivalent of two full-time in-house mental health providers, as well as contracts with 9 community providers for about 700 athletes. The staffing levels are the norm, or were the norm, for that time. Again, 700 athletes, 2 full-time people with some community providers, but it might be months to get into these people. And I think particularly all of us, myself included, If we're struggling with mental health, it's like, well, if I can't get in to see somebody now, just forget it. I'll deal with it.
Yeah. It was an interesting part of my reporting. You know, when I talked to the UW Athletics mental health director, he said, you know, it wasn't even until 2016 that the NCAA recommended athletic departments should have like in-house counselors. I mean, previously, student athletes were just told to go to the campus counseling center, where wait times are even longer than what student athletes experience.
You write in the story as well, an NCAA survey, more than 23,000 students in 22-23, nearly 70% reported knowing where to go on campus for mental health problems, but only about half said they would feel comfortable in doing so. Again, we need to do more as a society. We need to expect more of our universities, whether they're athletes or not, to let young people know how they can, you know, I know you're not here to analyze, but I mean, that's just my take is that, I mean, was that your reporting? You clearly seem to see a need for more money being spent on these type of things.
You know, and in fairness to the UW Athletics, after this tragedy, you know, they did increase their staffing, they made some changes, and their data that they provided to me does show that, you know, there's been an increase in the number of athletes seeking out mental health services. One data point that I thought was really interesting was that since 2022 when this sort of like mental health liaison program started, where they sort of work with individual teams. You know, when the football team got their mental health liaison, since then, there's been a fourfold increase in the number of football players, you know, utilizing mental health services mm-hmm. because of this.
And I say that's fantastic, but again, tragic that it took someone's death to really get people to pay attention. And again, I'm a huge supporter of the football program as well, but unfortunate that it took a premier sport, quote unquote, my term, to get people to pay attention. That, you know, oh, somebody plays track or cross, or runs track or cross country, that wasn't big enough. Wasn't a big enough revenue thing for some people to pay attention to. We're going to come back more with Kelly Meyerhofer of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You're not going to want to miss this. The ending to this story is emotional. Come on back.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Still putting off that deep clean? Let HS Pristine Clean take it off your to-do list. With over 20 years of meticulous cleaning experience, they make your home sparkle without the hassle. Call 920-932-0000 today. Why wait?
Listen to the John and Gordy Show weekdays right here on WMDX, sponsored by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted, locally made mattress. Find them on Madison's East and West Side or online at verlo.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Wisconsin's next major election is already here. The race for state Supreme Court is ramping up with just a few weeks to go before the April 1st general election. Much like the race 2 years ago, this will determine the balance of power on the court. If Susan Crawford wins, the court remains in liberal control. If Brad Schimmel wins, the court flips back to a right-wing majority. But there are a number of differing dynamics from the race in 2023. That race, won by Janet Protasiewicz, was the culmination of a years-long effort for liberals to win control of the court. Now they're playing defense to keep that majority. This also begins a run of 6 years in a row with a race for Wisconsin Supreme Court on the spring election ballot. Because of which justices will be up in coming years, if Crawford wins this year, the court will likely remain in liberal control until at least 2028. Find more bigger picture analysis of the race in my latest column at the Recombobulation Area.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Straight. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Welcome back to the Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock at the top of the hour. ABC or CBS News, depending upon which great station on Civic Media's network you're listening to, followed by sports and weather, and then the Maggie Dawn Show from 2 until 4, followed by Dominic Selvia and Pete Schwab's Nightlight from 6 until 8. Right now we are talking with Kelly Meyerhofer, the great reporter, higher education, her main beat at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Very powerful story. You can read it at jsonline.com. Jsonline.com was published in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel yesterday. Headline, "The pressure on student athletes keeps mounting. For one UW-Madison runner, it was too much." It is the story of Sarah Scholes, who died by suicide while a runner and student at the University of Wisconsin-Madison in 2022. Kelly is here to detail this great reporting. And again, I said this offline, Kelly, I'm going to say it to your face online. I really hope that whoever is in charge of this nominates this, because this work should be recognized. This is kind of journalism that sheds light, makes you think, and you learn something. And it's a tribute, quite frankly, to Sarah and her life. So thank you for this great reporting. I want to get back into the story here. And before we forget, I want to make sure we get this in. If you or someone you know is having suicidal thoughts or self-harm, you can call the National Suicide Helpline at 988. Just pick up your phone, dial or text 988. That's all it takes. And, of course, that was put in part in place by Wisconsin's own Senator Tammy Baldwin. There is also a foundation. Did you have that in front of you, Kelly? There's a foundation for Sarah as well that they have set up. I'm sorry, I don't have that right in front of me.
Yeah, it's just the SarahSchulzFoundation.org.
And Schulz is spelled S-H-U-L-Z-E. SarahSchulzFoundation.org. Let's get into the story more, Kelly. You talk a little bit about one of Sarah's coaches, Mackenzie Wartenberger, who we will note is no longer with the program. But this particular coach, you're reporting. Tell us about that.
Excuse me. Yeah, the coach that recruited Sarah was a different coach, and she ended up leaving right before Sarah started practice at UW. So they brought in a new coach, this woman named Mackenzie Wartenberger. Mm-hmm. And interviewing with her teammates, it showed that there was a lot of intensity, toxicity in the culture of the team. And the coach would often like pit runners against each other. One of the athletes I talked to said she started having panic attacks and she would dread the one-on-one meetings that she would have with the coach. And it seemed like an unhealthy team environment is sort of how Sarah's parents described mm-hmm. the situation. And it sounds like there was some sort of investigation into the coach. She ended up, the athletic department told her she had to leave. She had to cut off all contact with student athletes in December of 2021.
The coach.
Mm-hmm. And then a month later, she stepped away. And she said on social media she was leaving to focus on her family. Mm-hmm. The university didn't provide a ton of records showing if there was an investigation. At least one athlete I talked to said she was interviewed as part of it. So, the circumstances are still a little unclear about exactly what happened, but it was not a good environment for Sarah or a lot of her teammates. And it was one of many stressors that was going on, in the months leading up to her death.
You write into the article, she had an internship at the state capitol that she was basically forced to give up that she really, really enjoyed. Lots more in this story here. University of Wisconsin-Madison and UW Health have declined to give you a lot of details and open records requests so far. I want to get to this final phone call that Sarah's mom had with her 6 weeks before or just before she died by suicide. Her mom say they talked about soccer a little bit. Sarah, quote, Sarah gave no indication she was having similar thoughts. Her mom said she had just gotten into a summer study abroad program and started to imagine life without running. Her mom says, quote, it's probably the happiest we'd seen her in a long time. To go from that to 6 weeks later, she's no longer with us. It's just so jarring. And I think that's what's so shocking about suicide is just how fast it can happen. This perfect storm of events can trigger this avalanche of emotions that feel like they can't escape, unquote. I want to make sure we get the ending in here. She was going through a breakup with her boyfriend, according to family and friends. She was going through a lot of stress on the team. She wasn't able to access proper health care. As you note in your story, there's no one reason for her death, but all of those led up to it. UW Health did make changes in mental health liaisons, mental health first aid, and more staff. But let's get to the ending of this story. You tell it, Kelly. I have about a minute and a half left.
Sure, yeah. The story sort of ends circling back with the green ribbons and how her family and friends still wear these ribbons as part of their daily life, and including one time last spring when Sarah's parents met this teenager, Nick Ripke, on this walk for suicide prevention on campus last spring. It was the first time they met him, and he gave them a teddy bear, which had a recording device in it when you squeezed the bear, and it played a recording of the beat of Sarah's heart, which he received through a transplant. And he told them about how he had this heart condition when he was a kid, and it never allowed him to really do sports. So once he got Sarah's heart, he wanted to do something different that he wouldn't have been able to do. And he decided on running a 5K. And he didn't know at the time that his heart previously belonged to a Division I runner. So Sarah's mom sort of felt like it was her way, Sarah's way of saying she just wanted to run one more time.
An incredible ending that Sarah's heart literally lives on because she was an organ donor and her parents allowed that to happen. Kelly Meyerhofer, incredible reporting. You can find this story and many others by Kelly at jsonline.com. Thank you so much for being with us, Kelly. Thanks for this reporting.
Yeah, thanks.
Our pleasure. That will do it for now. Thanks to Kelly. Thanks to Luke Mathers, Aaron Summers, and you for listening. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. Remember, 988 if you need help. Maggie Dawn is next.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we hear from a farmer in southwestern Missouri. Hour number two, the National Wildlife Federation. What the Trump administration is going to do to conservation effort. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Lawmakers in the House set to vote on a Republican resolution described by House Speaker Mike Johnson as a budget blueprint for President Trump's agenda.
This is a big one. We're very, very close, and we're excited about the progress, and I'm very positive, and I'm absolutely convinced we're going to get this done.
He can only lose three Republican votes without Democratic support, and there is concern in home districts that Medicaid could be on the chopping block. Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries today at a rally.
Today we stand together as House Democrats with the American people to push back against this reckless Republican budget.
Consumer confidence plunging in February by 7 points. That's the biggest in over 4 years, with Americans worried about President Trump's tariffs and a looming trade war. The Vatican says Pope Francis remains in critical condition but stable as he battles pneumonia. He's been in the hospital in Rome for 12 days. This is ABC News.